بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A lady had a goat. From one side of the other was milk, and the other was honey. You hear this type of stories, so become curious. They asked her, how this happened? Is this true first, and how did this happen? So this does the goat. Milk it for yourself and you will find it. Milk and then the honey. So she explained the story. It was around Bakraid. And we were discussing, should we offer this as Qurbani? And then we took a decision that we shouldn't, because that's the only thing that we have. In the meanwhile, there was a guest that came home, and we found it very difficult to refuse the guest. Slaughtered it, and about having it, we saw there's another goat there. Just there. We realized it's ours, identical to the first one. And as we began to milk it, then there's honey and there's milk. It was told to us that this goat is nourished with the purity of the heart. As the heart is pure and clean, this animal will find its nourishment. So this purity of the heart. I was explaining this point to the Ustad this morning. And the purity of the heart and the blessings that come therewith. So sometimes an alim that is teaching in a madrasa and is remunerated, so he feels that I'm being remunerated, what's the sawab? Where's the sawab? I said, if the heart is right, then you want to get the sawab. Then how do you make out that the heart is right? So the more time is up, gives an example. The habis is in charge of the mahbus. So one is the one that is in the jail. So who is in charge of his food, his clothing, and his well-being? The one that jailed him. Because you restricted his movement, he can't move. When you restrict his movement and he can't move, then you are responsible to take care of the person, his food, his clothing, and his well-being. So by the same token, the one that has dedicated himself to deen, so he's tied himself up. For what? He's tied himself for the service of deen. So when he's tied himself for the service of deen, then it becomes the duty of the Muslims to take care of him. Because it's for them that he's tied himself. And if he doesn't tie himself, then he will not be able to be of service to the Muslims. This is a free man, and today I need to go for business to Cape Town. So he can't hold me up. I can't teach, but I need to do my business. Tomorrow, I got some business to attend to, so I can't teach. So if it's going to continue like this, what's going to happen to your children? Will they get the proper education, the proper training? So that requires that someone should be dedicated. He must tie himself for this. Then your children get the proper education. Otherwise, in one generation, the whole ilm will be wiped out and the jahadat will come in place of that ilm. So, who is a Muslim community effort? So the community is in charge to take care. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, wherever any person starts off good deeni work, then there is someone or something that is supporting. How is happening? Only Allah knows. But it's coming. Anyway, you look at anywhere, any proper good deeni work, then it's functioning. Those that are in charge, they are supporting it. But now, how do you make out that your heart is clean? See? So you want that work to be nourished, You want your work to be accepted. You want that Allah Ta'ala should make this your zakhira, your provision for the hereafter. Then how do you get it working? And that requires that your heart must be absolutely clean. Then when you say heart must be clean, then your nazar, your sight must be on Allah Ta'ala, not on ghayrullah. The more your heart is going to be focused to Allah Ta'ala, it's going to be barakat. And the more your heart is turned away from Allah Ta'ala, proportionately the barakat is going to be depreciating. Because it's a type of shirk. You're looking at Allah Ta'ala, and you're looking at a person. You're looking at Allah Ta'ala, and you're looking at this person here. Agar ye nahi chaha, toh mera kaam nahi banega. If he doesn't do it, then my work will fail. So as though you are saying that he will get the work done. So it's a discrete shirk. You won't say it's shirk, but it's a discrete form of shirk. So the nazar must be only in Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala will make it work. But then how do you make out that really your nazar and your sight is in Allah Ta'ala alone? So you make it out in this manner. Say you are in Durban, right? And the salary is say 10,000 there, right? And then around the same time someone sees you, your bayans and your work and all that, and they offer you 25,000 rand in Maritzburg. So that 10,000 rand was sufficient to see to all your needs, your requirements, your children, your living. It was enough. But now suddenly you heard that there is an offer coming up that you must come and take up this job here for 25,000. So it's going to be observed now that are you going to leave this work here and go there, or you're going to remain stuck on this work. If you remain stuck on this work, that means you've got ikhlas. Then inshallah your sawab will not be affected. Because then you are like that mahboos. You're the person that's locked up. And the Quran Sharif also speaks about this. لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الَّذِينَ أُحْصِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ ضَرْبًا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Those needy people that are أُحْصِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, they've tied themselves. They can't move on. لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ ضَرْبًا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Because of them tying themselves to some dini service, they can't move about freely. We were reading that article today on Qurbani. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ. Right. So, translation that was given, when he was running around with his father, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ. So, see, all right, let's get the Urdu tarjuma and let's look at it again. So, when we look at the tarjuma, so one was the original translation, perhaps that's Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib. So we have to remember that the istilahat can change from period to period, from time to time. These words can change. At a certain period, it will have a certain meaning, and after that, at a certain period, it will have a different meaning. So we cannot say now, this word was used then, so this is the used word now. So I'll explain the voice once, usage, right? So I said, you know, when we were young, so the slang word was bhai, let's bhai. And then a few years ago was let's chuck. And now recently some other word, before that word. Before it was bhai, then it was chuck, now there's another word also they use to replace that same slang word. But you see this words will change. So you get these changes, these alterations. So when we were small, we were schooling, right? So at that time, they used to call it the lavatory. Toilet was lavatory. Then I think around 1980 somewhere, or 1975, then they said toilet. And now they call it bath. Doesn't it happen? From lavatory, it moved on to toilet, and now it's bath. Going to the bath. When I heard this first time, I had a guest here, so I was talking, I said, I just need to go to the bath. See, we're to bath now. So I wasn't familiar with the word. Then I realized that this is the word that they use nowadays. So these words will change. So I said, just get that translation, see what's there. So the Original translation had Dorne, apne baap ke saath Dorne lage. I said, alright, let's look at the notes. Because that was now Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib, so that was about 2 centuries ago. Then look at the Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi, look at the translation there, because now it's 1 century ago. So the usage and the urf will change. When the urf will change, then there'll be a different word. So there it was, jab chalne phirne lage. So I said, now, how will you translate that? You said first, when he was running around, now the word is chalne phirne lage. So how will you translate it now? So I asked him, you know, when he began to move around with his father. So I asked him, alright, see, one word is dorne lage or chalne phirne lage. Is there a difference running around and moving around, or moving about? Is there a difference? Yes, there is a difference. So chalne phirne, moving about. So how the meaning is, you know, it's more dignified. Chalne phirne lage, moving around, moving about with his father. See now this istilaat, how they can change. So we are talking about the cleanliness of the soul, cleanliness of the heart. And the work is being nourished proportionate to the cleanliness of your heart. So dini work or dunya work, but what is the level of the cleanliness and the purity of the heart? Heart is too good, then every other work is also getting affected. But the heart is not good, then the other works are going to get affected. So, first I should think that when I came across it first, and I heard this from my mother. But she used to say that if you are doing zikr and talim in the house, then I can make it out, there's no problem, everything running very smoothly, running very, very nice. But the day zikr, talim is not done, I can make it out that something is not right here. Now, then I trace the statement to her, Maulana Alimiya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, same statement. So, one of the murids found that in the Khanqah something was not right. Something was not consistent like how it used to be. So he asked the Shaykh, you know, I see that level of consistency that used to be, I don't see it here for these few days. So the Shaykh pointed out towards his knees. What's the relationship? The knees and the consistent pattern that used to be prevailing. She says, no, for the last 2-3 days, my knees were aching and I couldn't do the ma'mulat, the zikr, the talim that I was supposed to be doing. And this is a result of me not doing that talim, not doing that zikr, ma'mulat. Then the same thing I found in the works of Al-Mujaddid Al-Fasani, rahmatullahi. See, tracing it. So, he says approximately the same thing, that you're not doing this, you're not looking after your sunnahs, you're not looking after your zikr, your Quran Sharif, your talim, the character that you're supposed to be displaying, not showing it. You're getting involved in ghibat, etc. Then there must be some disarray. You won't find a consistent plan. And then, ghibat, one is ghibat, I'm making it, right? And one is, I'm insinuating, right? So, I will talk about, in a way, speak about something, so, I want a response. Yeah, that he'll say, yeah, he's like that man, you know, I had also very bad experience with him. Doesn't it happen? So, you get a class of people that will insinuate. And they will feel relaxed, but I didn't do it, you know, he spoke about it, but who's insinuated? Who gave the chabi? Who started it off? You started it off, he took it on from there. So, we need to think now, alright, how do we save ourselves from this type of a malicious environment? Maulana was speaking about Maulana Hurmuzullah, Hafizji Huzur. There was one Buzrug, I saw him in Mina, and there was another Buzrug from Bangladesh, both Bangladesh. His name was Maulana Hurmuzullah. So he came out in Jamaat, the program of the top masjid. So he wasn't very tall. He was about 84 years of age at that time that he came. And Sa'imuddar, right throughout the year, is fasting. So he'll get into the Josh, you know, that ordinary plastic chairs. He'll clamp up that, he'll give a bayat. I can still see that picture, I can still see. At that age, so fit still. Yeah, now 40, 50 now, he's chairman, the stool man, see? He's 85. So his one statement I liked. A lot of things he said. One statement he says, says, when you say one word, don't you think that that word is stopped just at that point? Because if it's a word of goodness, that the goodness of it, the blessings of it, they begin to revolve in the atmosphere. So there's goodness that will revolve in the atmosphere. One good word. Zikr, tasbih, some word of goodness that you spoke about. That thing also has its effect. It has, the whole atmosphere is echoing with the goodness of that word. But the opposite is also true. If it's one word of rebirth, bad, ill faith, you don't wish well for the person, and you made an utterance of it, that thing also begins to revolve and rotate in the atmosphere, and you can feel the evil of it. Here the goodness of it can be felt, and here the evil of it can be felt. Like when you go to Madina Munawara, to Riyazul Jannah, don't you feel a certain feeling there? So there's only good there. You don't find people sitting down there, relaxing, talking and having whatever. They're doing their job. Zikr, Quran Sharif, Namaz, everything is buzzing. And nowadays even more because, you know, the time is limited, right? So you know, you've got limited time, 15 minutes or 20 minutes to do your job, move. So you can't have any mashwaras there. You've got to do your work and you've got to be moving. So all those people that are making zikr, Quran Sharif, Namaz, crying, the effect of their goodness is revolving in that atmosphere. In that place it's revolving. So we come back to the point now, then how does that ustad know, or that person that is serving deen, how does he know that he is getting some credit as well? He's getting a remuneration package here, but he's getting a reward there as well. So he's getting a salary, and his kharcha, everything is coming out here. And there's simultaneously, there's an offer in marriage book now, 25,000 from 10 to 25. So we're going to see now. Then, if you're going for that, then it's like the cattle, you know, like a cattle that is being auctioned, you know, and you go to the highest bidder. He's giving something, and he's giving something else. In the meanwhile, what happens, that person that has was bidding for you, and he won the bid, right? He also doesn't have the level of respect and trust in you. Because he's always apprehensive that I gave 25, so he swung towards me, and someone will give 35 then. Isn't he apprehensive? Does he have the level of trust? Does he have the level? Now, this remuneration as well, it works with the cleanliness of the soul. Heart is clean, pure, then that little also brings about a lot. Repeatedly, we hear the story of the anar, pomegranate, right? The nazar was right, the trust was in Allah Ta'ala, so that half was sufficient to fill the glass, right? You hear the story all the time, right? But the moment the heart was affected, just the heart got affected, now you're taking one anar, you're taking second pomegranate, third one, that thing is not filling. So, you understand that the goodness is nourished by the purity of the soul. It's pure, everything's happening. And it's not pure, then something down the line is getting affected, going to get affected. So Allah Pak also wants the same thing. أَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولَ. He wants it pure. مَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Worshipping, just keep it pure for you. Don't adulterate, don't dilute, don't mix up things. For him, then let it be for him, let it be purely for him. And this type of adulteration, dilution, etc., the Allah Pak doesn't appreciate this. keep it for him. Allah Pak knows it, he appreciates it, he accepts it. Ye to ghanimat ki baat hai. And if he doesn't accept it, phir isme kaun si bhali baat hai? If Allah Ta'ala himself, he has rejected that, what's the good? So the heart must be there. That's why you see Sulaiman alayhi salam making dua. وَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. He didn't say أَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا. What he said? أَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. So that's a very important point. We think that we're doing good work, and now it's already endorsed and it's going up, it's going. No, that thing must be endorsed with تَرْضَاهُ. Allah Ta'ala must accept it. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam are constructing the Baytullah. They didn't feel for a moment, we are running now. Hey, we got the Baytullah here, we're moving it up, we're just escalating. As they're constructing the Baytullah, then dua is, Rabbana taqabbal minna. So the Mufassirin are saying that he could have said, Rabbana qabbal minna. You know, in nikah time, you don't say taqabbal tuha, you say qabil tuha, isn't it? What do you say? Huh? Remember what you said? Forgot about it. This Arabs of old, what was their memory? So, the Muhaddis is explaining one Arab villager, you know, when you read Watini was Zaytun, you're coming to the end, say, Alaysa Allahu bi ahkamil hakimin, say, Bala wa ana ala dhalika min ash-shahidin. And when you come to, Fabi ayyi hadithin ba'dahu yu'minun, say, Amantu billah. So he says, now the Muhaddis says, I just wanted to repeat that hadith to that birdman, to that villager, whether he's memorized it, he's learned it, you know. Here you say, Alaysa Allahu bi ahkamil hakimin. You say, Bala wa ana ala dhalika min ash-shahidin. And here you say, Amantu billah. So I want to repeat it so that the villager has learned it. You say, you have to say, lighty, lighty, just keep quiet. Sing in his own style, just keep quiet. I made 60 hajj, right? And 60 years, I made 60 hajj. From the first hajj to now, I remember every camel that I rode on. Full description I can give you. Now I ask you, you went to Cape Town, you went to Johannesburg last year sometime. Can you remember that plane? Or it was Bagua flight or whatever flight. Can you remember that? All is forgotten. This people's memories were so sound. 60 hajjs and he perfect details. So we're coming to this point here. You know, all of us are anxious now that we're coming to Zulhijjah, right? Let's do something that we can get some endorsement. You know, أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. Allah, you must endorse it. And you endorse it, then that's better for me than the whole world. The whole world. He must just endorse one of my subhanallah. I don't need anything. Because when Allah endorses something, there's no cancellation. Like, we will endorse and then we may cancel, have a second thought, right? Give you an increment. So, sorry boss, I can't give it to you. I'm sorry about it. If Allah endorses, then there's no cancellation. Then you're flying, you're moving it. So one, two things that came to my mind, I said, let me share it with you. Perhaps someone will make amal and I'll get chucked into the sawab, inshallah. So, one is to make wuzu at home and then come gracefully to the masjid. Nicely made wuzu, toilet, wuzu, gracefully you came and made your faraz namaz. You made wuzu nicely, came gracefully, no, you didn't get involved in any chit chat, nothing, and gracefully you came to the masjid. That kharaja min baytihi mutatahhiran fa ajruhu ka ajril hajjil muhrim. You know, it's the days of hajj now, right? So if you came out from your home and proceed to the masjid in that style, then your reward is like the reward of a haji. How great, huh? Others have to wait for the accreditation, all that, right? Now, for whatever reason, we can't make it, right? Allah Pak, take us there, but we can't make it. But now, that does that mean that we must get deprived of the reward entirely? So can't we do this much at least? If we can't do all the namazes, one, two namazes, we do wuzu nicely, and then proceed to the masjid. Nicely, gracefully. Right? Then the other hadith says, Salatun ala ithri salatin. Salatun ala ithri salatin la lahun bainahuma kitabun fil illiyin. That one namaz, and then you followed up with another namaz. One for us, then you followed it up with the next for us. Provided you didn't do anything inappropriate in between. In between, inappropriate, anything that is void of any good, you know. Futility. You didn't get involved in any futility. La lagun bainahuma kitabun fil illiyin. So one namaz, and then followed up by another namaz, and you didn't do anything futile in between, then your name is recorded amongst the highest of pious people. But provided you didn't do anything futile in between. So I tell my friends, the simple thing is, but this is the reward, right? So you did your Isha namaz, and after that you didn't get involved in anything futile. Now Isha namaz was the last good deed that you had done, right? For the day, that was the last good deed. And just the provision is now for all these good days, great days. But after that, you don't get involved in any chit-chat, anything futile, anything that you are doubtful, is not inappropriate, or Allah Pak may not be happy with it, so you didn't get involved. Small or big, one word or 10 words. But nothing. Prayer namaz, gracefully went to the car and moved on. You know now, that if you know, read lengthy sunnahs here, someone is going to catch you in the car park, will tell you something or the other, you get involved in discussion. So now, you worked your way out, and you went home. Now, you don't want to get deprived of that reward. Big days, and you must get a share. Every Muslim must get a share. Imagine now, you just did that, and your name is recorded now by Allah Ta'ala, in the records of the righteous, great righteous people, awliya, kitabun fi illiyin. So now, you read your Isha namaz, nicely, made wuzu at home, came nicely, did your namaz. So the last deed for the night was a great deed, you didn't interrupt it, you didn't cause any type of corruption to the namaz. Because after that you went straight home, right? Then the first deed for the day, that was the last deed for the day, the first deed for the day is Fajr, which you wuzu nicely again at home, and you proceeded nicely to the masjid, came a little early, got involved in namaz. So as though in the records of Allah Ta'ala, you ended the day with beauty, and you started the day with beauty, inshallah, the whole day will be covered with beauty, won't it? But Umar radiallahu anhu wouldn't like people getting involved in talks after Isha namaz. It's something very important of deen, it's alright. But sometimes, I want to talk, see, I want to engage in some talk. But now, you heard that Mullah said that Umar radiallahu anhu didn't like getting engaged in talks. So now, I want to talk to him, let's make it like a deeny talk, like, you know, let's make it happen. But that's not right, the intention is something else, see. Now you hear now, for example, spending a small amount of time in talim is better than ibadah for the whole night. So now you don't do ibadah, and you need something to sleep, you know. The idea is to get you to sleep. Let me look at this kitab here, and by the time I finish the third page, I'll be on. So is the intention right? Intention is not right. You're taking the kitab as a sleeping tablet, and you want the full sawab for it. The intention is corrupt. So you start off the day in a good note, and you end the day in a good note, inshallah, the whole day will work beautiful for you. So Umar radiallahu anhu discouraged, Samiran tahjurun, spending the night talking nonsensical things. So two things the hadith has discouraged, sleeping before Isha, and getting involved in useless talks after Isha. Something very, very important, like Tabligh Jamaat, you can go gush now, this mulaqat here, that mashwara. That's an important thing, alright. But then, that important thing, keep it to the extent of importance. Don't stretch it. To the point of importance, keep it, and then don't stretch it to the seams. Then you start breaking it. The seam breaks, then can you wear that ijar after that? Can't wear that ijar after that. Finish. So we're talking about the goodness of the heart. And in between I brought this thing here. That at least something you can count on. You can count on something for this Mubarak days. So Allah Pak wants things to be not diluted. Pure, kept in its original form. He doesn't want a mixture. Right. So in this life here, you're going to get clashes coming up. حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. You think that you would say آمَنَّا, I believe, and there's not going to be any trials. It's going to be trials. فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ. People of the past also, they have to go to trials. You will also go to trials. So it's going to be clashes in your work. Now you just said آمَنَّا, and now the trials are going to start. In your business you said آمَنَّا, now Allah is going to see you in your business. How do you do in your business? Allah is going to check you in your home. How do you conduct yourself in your home? In your private life, how do you conduct yourself? All these clashes are going to come in. Are you a straight person? Or you know, Allah, yeah, I just want a little bit of a relaxation. Yeah, I will do that. So there's going to be clashing all the time. In this clashing, what will happen? فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Allah Ta'ala will make out those that were loyal and truthful. And those people that were just making false claims, he'll make it out. So once you've said this, you come in now you're already in the challenge. The challenge already started. When the challenge is started, now you're going to see, are you truthful to your word, or you just be saying things by the way. Allah is going to see this, he's watching you all the time. So in this test and trial, that which was concealed within you, that will begin to surface. That's what happens. Like, there's a whole variety of seeds, right? Now, all of them look nice. But as they got the right type of exposure, the right type of conducive environment, then the goodness or the badness that's within the seed, that will expose. Some will come up as a tomato, as an onion, as a mango, as a guava, as a grape, right, goodness. And some will be venomous, some will be thorny. Right? In the state of the seed, you couldn't make out what was concealed within. But given the conducive environment, what was concealed, that begins to surface. So all these things happen. So this thing can happen with anybody. Everybody can claim for himself, oh, no, I'm very good, I'm too good. Right? But just wait for the clash to come in. And then we'll see where your loyalties lie. Jibillah bin Ayyam, just started a story and time is up already. You know, the story is only appreciated if it's expounded, it's cleared. So he accepted Islam, mighty ruler. Mighty Roman Arab ruler, mighty. Great, millions of people. And sitting on tons of gold, literally. So powerful, accepted Islam, came in for the Hajj. So, time of Umar radiallahu anhu, in the tawaf, he's got his ihram on, and he's got his people. So in that ihram, a villager's foot went onto his lower garment. And when he went on his lower garment, his back just got exposed. And now you can imagine now, he's a man so popular, got a big, huge kingdom, right? And in the open, he got exposed. His private areas just got exposed. How embarrassing, right? Like, someone is giving a talk in a public platform, right? And some fool just went down his nose. How he feels? How embarrassed do you feel? Now, you can imagine now, your private areas got exposed in the public. He couldn't manage the thing. And he slapped that villager. Put a blue mark here. The villager went straight to Umar radiallahu anhu. That's what happened in the tawaf. So, Jibillah is summoned to Umar radiallahu anhu. He sees that him and the villager both are made to sit on one and the same place. So that bewilderment, he says, what made me equal to this simple little downtrodden villager? Me and him both are alike here. So he said, that's Islam. Islam is injustice, that we don't look at your influence, we don't look at your position, we don't look at your status, nothing. It's meted out equally, the high and the low, influential and uninfluential, the powerful and the weak, all are identical. So he asks, he sees now he's caught up. So what is the punishment? The punishment is the villager has got the right to slap you equally as you slapped him. Slapped him, made a mark on his face, he's got the right to do it. Now, that was too much for him. I am so powerful, such a mighty person. I'm an unchallenged ruler. For years I've been running this kingdom here and running from my grandfather's time. And now I have to swallow my pride here. I'll be despised, I'll be disgraced. See, he says, can I get a chance just for one night? So Umar Rajan says to him, that's not my right. That is the right of the villager. You hurt him. If he gives you a respite, that's between you and him. I can't decide for him. It's his individual right. You hurt him. You've crossed swords with him. If he gives you a respite for a day, he wants to delay the process, it's his right. But if he doesn't want to, then I can't coerce him. Now, imagine now, man, so wealthy, strong, powerful. In that Hajj also, he's got 1,000 of his people, the entourage, coming with him, joining him in the Hajj. So now, with all that might and that glory, simplicity, make me maaf, please. Right? One day? You've got one day to think about it. By the night, this man escaped with all his people. Now, he's on his deathbed, this Jibrillah. But you see that pride was concealed within him. That arrogance was concealed within him. That I'm prepared to accept Islam, but I'm not prepared to give up my pride. Prepared to accept Islam, I'm not prepared to give up my independent ruling. I don't want that. Now Islam says you are identical. In justice, then justice will be meted out equally to you as to that person as well. But now he's on his deathbed, he's about breathing his last. And at that moment he says, you know, that I've only taken that slap, gone through that disgrace, than me being allowed, than me allowing my pride and the arrogance to have the better over me. Now I have to die like this in disgrace. At that time, when it was offered to me, take that slap, or I had just taken that slap and should be squared up. But now I realize I had made a serious mistake. So, Islam wants things to be absolutely pure. No dilution, we don't want any type of mixture. It's not a negotiable thing. The dilution, etc., is not a negotiable thing. Now, negotiable things can be in your private property. In your private property, you can negotiate. Alright, it's my right, 100 rand you're owing me. I can negotiate the terms. I can make a compromise, reduce it from 100 rand to 75 rand. That's my own private thing, negotiating, and you can encroach on my property with my permission. But can I encroach onto your property? I can't encroach into yours. That's your private property. I can't encroach. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.